The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour is live. We talked to the brand new athletic director at the University of Georgia in the first hour. We'll talk to Booger McFarland coming up here in a minute. Let's talk to Bobby now in Kentucky.
Yeah, I also want to know your comments about the UK ball team and Calipari starting to take knees for the national anthem before the games. It's been a big blow back here in Kentucky. I'm telling you, you can go to the local Walmart or anywhere and everybody is down. I mean, nobody liked that. That was uncalled for, is what a lot of people called. Just bringing attention to make a bad division worse.
Yeah, Bobby, I read about it the other day, and you know what I'm about to say. The players said that they were taking a knee not to be disrespectful to the media, but they were doing it to show their disgust for what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. And Calipari said that he was just supporting.
I mean, there's plenty happening in the summer and cops getting beat up. You know, everybody knows there's a double standard. But what people are
hold on just a second. I mean, that I'm just quoting what the players on the Kentucky team said. How is that a double standard?
Well, I'm talking back when the summers when Black Lives Matter was taking over cities, burning businesses, attacking policemen. Mm-hmm. They wasn't everybody going crazy trying to take knees and hollering for this or that. But then something happens with white people. And it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's such a double standard than those Currys. I mean, these boys are privileged. They'll never have to have a bad job. They play ball for Kentucky. Even if they don't go pro, they will be taken care of the rest of their lives. All they got to do is put on their application, I played ball for University of Kentucky, and they'll be having good jobs.
Well, Bobby, what part of Kentucky do you live in?
Eastern.
And what are you hearing from
Calipari? Well, maybe Calipari should worry about winning ball games instead of being an NBA recruiter. You know, because he quit worrying about Kentucky winning the SEC or national title. All he wants to do is be an NBA recruiter. He needs to go ahead and leave. Most people agree with me a lot in Kentucky do. Now, his time's up. All he wants to do is be an NBA recruiter or something. He's not trying to win national titles.
Hey, Bobby, let me make sure I understand. You are a UK fan?
On the bubble right now.
No, Bobby, I'm not asking you how you are today. I mean, you have all. I just want to make sure you're not. You're a fan. You have all.
Yeah. I've been a fan. Yes, go to ball games. Yeah, we'll save my money for tickets and go to ball games.
And the events of the other day have turned you and you're saying many other people off. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, a lot more. I bet you shirt sales are down and everything. Yeah, it turned people off.
Okay.
Everybody's tired of this old division stuff.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Thank you, and you have a good day, and appreciate it. Jim is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Jim. Jimmy there?
It's Skip.
Chip, go right ahead.
Skip in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, okay.
Go. I wanted to check with you on the shape of the Gamecocks. I hadn't been able to stay in touch with what's been going on. Could you give me a quick recap since Beamer was hired?
Yeah, it's been a little bit bumpy. He's lost three different coaches to Auburn, I believe. He has replaced some of them, and I mean, there's a little bit of concern, but I still think Beamer will be a good coach. It's just going to be a difficult beginning. I think that would be the charitable way of putting it. Let's continue with more calls. And how about Mike in North Carolina? Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this evening?
We are doing well. Thank you.
One quick statement. our conference is still better than their conference. But question about Jeremy Pruitt. I know everybody's talking about developing players and all of this stuff, and I've been a diehard Tennessee fan my whole life, and this is a very hard fan base to continue to be a part of sometimes. But my question is, you know, don't you think they need to give him a chance to develop as a head coach? I mean, everybody's into instant gratification. And, yeah, I want Tennessee to dominate myself. But, you know, reality is they got to work with what they hired. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I do agree with you. In a perfect world, I would not have been in favor of Jeremy Pruitt losing his job, even though his coaching this year was abysmal. That is not the issue right now, I don't think. I mean, I don't really know what the issue is other than there is this internal investigation. But no, based on his one loss, his overall one loss record, I don't think he should be fired.
No, I don't either. I just don't agree with that. I mean, you know, I'm sure he's made a lot of mistakes. I'm sure he would admit to everyone that he's made a lot of mistakes. He's learning as he's, you know, taking a head coaching position in the toughest conference in the country. And people are just, you know, very impatient, want him fired. You know, we can fire coaches from here to tomorrow. That's not going to make the program any better.
I agree. Thank you very much for the call. Stephen in St. Thomas, Georgia. Hey, Stephen.
I miss you today. What's my mom?
Stephen, you there?
Oh, here we go. Oh.
Hey, Mom. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you? Didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, dude, I've been waiting on hold for like an hour.
Well, I'm glad you get on.
Good. Hey, listen, I have a message for Jim from Columbus and all the other Big Ten fans. I've been doing some research, and I want to tell you why the Big Ten is the most overrated conference ever.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back the last 20 years. All right? Four SEC teams have won the national championship. Three ACC teams have. Two Big 12 teams have. One Pac-10 and one Big 10. In effect, I would take the Pac-12 over the Big Ten in the past 20 years because at least Oregon made it to the national championship game. The Big Ten has nobody but Ohio State, Jim. They have nobody, Paul, nobody. So explain to me why the Big Ten gets all the props.
Well, I don't think they get all, but you're right. I mean, the Big Ten does not have much going for it other than Ohio State, especially this year.
They have nothing for the past 20 years, Paul. Nothing for the past 20 years. They have nobody. You know, so when the Big Ten says the SEC is so top-loaded, you know what? We have four national champions in the past 20 years. And if you want to go back to 98, when the dysfunctional program that's Tennessee now won it, in 98, we can go back then, too. At least the ACC has Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. The Big Ten, the Big 12 has Oklahoma and Texas. The Pac-12 has USC and Oregon. The Big Ten has nobody. They have Ohio State and nobody else. It's insane if you really do your research. It's insane. Have a good day. God bless you. God bless America.
Thank you very, very much. Let's go to break. Yeah, Booger McFarland will join us in a minute. We'll take a deep breath. We need one after these first hour and 10 minutes. Stick around. Booger is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back here on the Friday afternoon, a couple of days removed from the national championship game. We still have not had a chance to check in with our next guest, which is always a treat when we're able to find a way to book Booger McFarland to the program. Booger, great to have you on. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Same to you, Paul. Glad to be back, man. How's your New Year going?
It's okay, all things considered. For a while, I thought getting rid of 20 was going to be good. 21's been a little rocky so far, but we're going to get out of this. You know what the reaction's been since Monday night. What can you enlighten us with in terms of the greatness of this Nick Saban team?
Well, you know, Paul, here's the thing. And you know, a lot of programs around the country can get five-star talent, and a lot of teams around the country have that five-star talent develop and leave to go to the NFL. I think the most amazing thing about Nick Saban is that he can get that talent, and for the most part, guys that need to stay in school, and he develops that talent. I think that is the biggest thing that you can do for 17 to 21-year-old young men. When you can go recruit them and tell them, you come to Alabama, you're going to be developed, you're going to become the best player you can be, and I think after that, you can give them an opportunity to win a championship. And if you've been in Alabama during the Nick Saban era and you've stayed at least 3 years, you've won a championship. And to me, that's a remarkable stat. And they were the best team on the field on Monday night, Paul. Like, for as much as we give Ohio State a lot of credit for recruiting five stars, and they do, their ability to cover on the back end, their linebackers, 32 and 20, didn't belong on the field with Alabama. Their cornerback, Sean Wade, they were saying he was going to be a first-round pick. I didn't see it. And so, overall, I think the gap on that field should really make people in the Big Ten, it should really make schools like Notre Dame really pause that if you're going to compete with the best in the Southeastern Conference year in and year out, you got to get more explosive, you got to get better athletes on the back end and at your skill position players.
And bigger picture, Booger, really only Clemson has been in that league so far to be able to compete. And I mean, we're splitting hairs because Ohio State, as you know, is one of the best programs in the country over the last 6 or 7 years, or ever since Urban Meyer got there. Does this gap ever close as long as Nick Saban is at Alabama?
Well, you know, I don't think the gap's going to close completely. I think you can find cracks in the gap. I think we've seen Clemson find cracks in the gap. I think we saw LSU find a crack in the gap last year, and that they were able to have an outstanding season. But the consistency at which Nick Saban has done it, Paul, it's really simple. You want to find out who's going to win the national championship, find out who's winning signing day. And, you know, people look at Nick Saban and what they did Monday night. Paul, do they realize he may have signed the best recruiting class he's ever signed since he's been at Alabama this past December? That's the thing that I don't think people realize is that if you're going to beat them, you got to beat them in December. You got to beat them in February. And I'll give it to him because whatever he's selling, at 69 or 70 years old to these mothers and fathers and grandparents, man, I would love to be buying it because he gets kids from Hawaii, California, Washington State. Like, he's getting kids all around America to come to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And nothing against Tuscaloosa, Paul, but Tuscaloosa is no different than a lot of these college towns around the Southeastern Conference. It's a great college town, but it is not like the greatest city in the world. And for Nick Saban to be able to get these kids to come there, to me, is amazing.
Booger, within the SEC, we know LSU was there. We know Georgia has been close. Let me start with those two, and then we'll work our way around. Where do you think LSU is right now?
I think LSU is trying to reload. I think hiring a new offensive coordinator, a guy that touched Joe Brady's cloak, hopefully is going to give Ed Orgeron what he needs on offense. I think they're in the process of trying to figure out what they're going to do defensively. I think if you ask Coach O in a private moment, 2020 was a failure. Now, you can blame it on a lot of things. You can blame it on COVID. You can blame it on a lot of guys leaving, but it was a failure. And so now how do you bounce back? I think the one thing that I've seen from Ed Orgeron, every time that he's been doubted, every time that he's failed, quote unquote, he's bounced back. And I expect LSU to have a big year next year. They're going to be better. They're going to be, I think, more explosive and more experienced. As far as Georgia is concerned, Paul, here's what I'll say about Georgia. And I played against Kirby Smart. Like, Kirby is from my era. Kirby has done an outstanding job of recruiting to Georgia. But if you're going to be honest and you're a Bulldog fan and you're going to sit there and you're going to stare honesty in the eye, Kirby has done less with more maybe than Mark Richt. And to me, that's an issue because you fire Mark Richt because you got tired of 10 wins. You fire Mark Richt because you got tired of coming up second. Well, Kirby hasn't quite gotten you over the hump. It's looked different. It sounded different. But what does he have to show? And I know it's unfair because Tua threw to Devontae Smith. Otherwise, Kirby's a national champion. But you know the old saying, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. So Kirby, for as much talent and as fast as he's built the Georgia program, he's got to get something to show for it. And in the sport of football, it's about rings. And so far, he hadn't been able to do that.
Let me bring two other schools up. They both contended for a playoff berth. A&M barely missing out. Florida stumbling on its way home. Take those two and tell us where you think the programs are going.
I think A&M is on the way up. You know, Jimbo recognized his biggest issue a couple years ago. A&M was a soft football team. They couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't run the football. He told me they had to become more physical. Those are not my words. Those are Jimbo Fisher's words. But to his credit, he's changed it. This past year, Isaiah Spiller, they ran the ball just about against anybody. Their defensive line has been dominant. They can stop the run, Paul. They're recruiting better defensive linemen. I like where A&M is headed because Jimbo understands what it takes to win. I'm concerned about Florida, Paul, because Dan Mullen seems to me he doesn't recognize the truth if it hits him in the face. And I like Dan. At one point when the LSU job was open a couple years ago, I could have envisioned Dan being there. But here lately, all Dan does is make excuses. Well, you know, I get it. We lost to Oklahoma, but it was kind of, you know, the 2020 team is dead. This was kind of our spring game. Are you kidding me, Dan? How are you going to disrespect Oklahoma like that? How are you going to disrespect your fan base? I don't know if he's ever lost a game where he said, you know what, that's my fault. I didn't coach well. Our coaching staff didn't prepare our team well. There's a lot of excuses coming out of Gainesville. And now you lose Kyle Trask. You're going to have to bring along Jones as the quarterback. He's not dominating the recruiting circuit in the state of Florida. I'm concerned about Florida, maybe where other people aren't.
It doesn't look like it's happening because jobs are starting to get filled up. But there was a report, as you know, by Adam Schefter 2 weeks ago that said he wanted an NFL job. You traveled those NFL circles. Do you think anybody bit, could it still happen?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think the fact that it hasn't happened yet, and you're starting to see the jobs fill up. Urban Meyer, oh, by the way, he's unretired for the fourth time. I had fun with that conversation.
We were going to get there in a minute.
Well, exactly. So now he's in Jacksonville. You have Robert Saleh is now with the Jets. The Falcons have been rumored to offer Arthur Smith their job. Dan Carpenter, who's the tight ends coach for the Saints, is rumored to be the guy in Detroit. So long story short, all the jobs are filling up. So Dan Mullen one day may be a potential NFL candidate, but I'll tell him this if he asks me in a private moment, and he probably won't. When you come to the National Football League, it's a show-me game. Like, there are no excuses. Either I did a good job or I didn't. And right now I'm hearing too many excuses out of Gainesville. So hopefully their on-the-field play is better this coming season. We'll see.
One more college I want to throw at you, and we'll get to Urban Meyer last. Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. We know the record. We don't know where it's going. We don't know why it's so confusing up there. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. I'm a firm believer of this, Paul. Never put off the inevitable. And it sounds like the inevitable to me has, like, they want to get rid of Jeremy. That's what it sounds like. Like, I don't know all the intimate details. You probably can tell me more than I do. But it just seems like it's trending toward they're looking for a reason to fire the coach. And if that's the case, why not just go ahead and do it? Okay? Yeah, sure, it may cost you $4 or $5 million more, but I guarantee you, you know, Peyton Manning and the Haslam family can figure out how to find that. So, like, why are you stringing Jeremy Pruitt along? And I think that's ultimately where it's headed. I don't know for sure, but it sure seems like it. Tennessee's a great program. That they recruited me coming out, Paul, and if they would have allowed me the opportunity to play defensive tackle, I probably would have considered them a little more stronger. But they wanted me to play center and have Peyton Manning reach under my rear end and get a ball. And so I didn't want to play center, so I didn't go to Tennessee. So hopefully they can figure it out. It's a great program. It's a great campus. That school in those mountains, I mean, I fell in love when I was up there. It's unreal, and you hate to see them go through the turmoil, the ups and downs that they've done the last few years.
Let's end with the biggest story in the NFL, Urban Meyer. Nobody believed it 2 years ago when he announced his retirement, and we were all proven correct. Will he make it in the NFL?
He'll make it if he's changed a little bit. Urban is a very controlling presence. Urban likes to control a lot of things from the people that I've talked to. Well, the NFL, Paul, is far less controlling and more delegating, because if I'm dealing with a grown man, I have to allow grown men to do their job. I can't control everything. I can't control what you eat, what time you go to bed. I can't control how many hours you look at your playbook, et cetera, et cetera. I have to be able to delegate and allow grown men to do what grown men should do, which is their job. Now, Urban is a great leader. I'll say that again. He is a tremendous leader. And he can turn a program around based on what he's done, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, et cetera. I got two questions about Urban. When the going gets tough, what's Urban going to do? Because Urban's probably going to lose more games next year than he lost at any point in Florida. So now if you're 4-12, Urban, how do you feel? Is your health going to be a concern at that point? I think everyone out there is thinking of that. And two, can you be a great evaluator of talent, you and whoever you bring in as your GM? Because the Jaguars are just not a talented team right now, Paul. And you're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, more likely than not. You got holes in your roster. So can you be a great judge of talent, and can you learn to delegate? Because those are the two things he's going to have to do to build the Jaguars up to where I think they can compete. Now, on the flip side, Paul, I'll say this. If within 4 years – Urban Meyer has the Jacksonville Jaguars in an AFC title game or a Super Bowl, he can make a claim that he's the greatest coach of all time in college football and or pro football. Because what he did in college, and if he can do it in pro football, you can put him up there. He's not on the top of the list as far as me, but he can start to be in the conversation with the Belichicks, with the Greg Popoviches, as far as great coaches in any sport in our country.
Final question. A lot of us thought last year LSU was the best team, you know, maybe the best offense, just an unbelievable team, and we were raving about them. Same thing happened after Monday night about this Alabama team. Where do you stand trying to compare and contrast the LSU team of last year versus the Alabama team of this year?
So here's what I'll say, Paul. Both teams have been both teams were dynamic. Both teams deserve to be national champions. But if we're going to split hairs and we're going to have 6 in one hand half a dozen of the other one. Here's what I go to. LSU's the only team ever, still, it's the only team ever that beat seven top 10 teams that were ranked in the top 10 when they played them. Okay, so until Alabama does that, then I'm going to lean toward LSU. To me, it's about the level of competition. Alabama is going to say, yeah, but we played an 11-game SEC schedule. I'll give you that. I'll tip my hat. But guess what? If I played, and I'm not going to use SEC schools, but if I were in the Big Ten and I played an all-Big Ten schedule and I played Rutgers every week, doesn't matter. I could play them 22 times. It didn't matter. So I get it. The SEC was down this year. Nobody's fault. But if we're going to split hairs and we're going to say, okay, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other one, you got to choose one, I'm going to choose LSU based on the fact that they beat seven top 10 teams and no other, not Alabama, this past year, no other team has done that. And so I'll lean toward the Tigers.
Never disappoints, Booger McFarland. Man, you packed a lot into that segment, Booger, and we thank you very much. I hope you'll come back soon. All the best, my friend.
Well, Paul, listen, I look forward to coming back, but you know me, Paul. When you ask me these questions, people are listening to hear something. They don't want to hear, well, Florida's going to be great, Georgia's going to be really good. Like, if you're a Georgia fan, you're honestly thinking, man, we got 97 five-stars and zero championships. If you're a Florida Gator, you're thinking, man, I thought we were going to a bowl game, not the spring game. So, like, people want to hear actual comments, Paul. They don't want to hear all roses and fluff. You know how me and you do this.
Oh, no, that's why you are my favorite, because you're everyone else is it's equivocating, and that's why you're the best. Booger, thank you, and Kirby Smart's trying to – he just called me and wanted your cell number. So,
All right, Paul, later, buddy.
See you around. Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to go next, but I think of all the many headlines out of that, LSU being better than Alabama – the one about Kirby Smart, I think, is definitely going to reverberate. We will recap that and your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Great to have you here, and really a fantastic conversation with Booger. A lot to digest. We will get to the calls right now at 855-242-7285. And Stetson is in Florida. Hello, Stetson. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I absolutely love that, Booger. He is, I tell you what, if you ever retire, which I hope you don't, he is who I would like in the seat.
He would be unbelievable. I wish he would join the show today full time. It would make the show better.
He is the greatest. I mean, it comes from the gut about everything he says. It's just one of those things where everybody can identify with him. He just somebody you want to go to the local bar with and just shoot the bull.
And by the way, he is that guy. Years ago, we used to be together a lot on the road, and he is just one of the more delightful people that you'll ever be around.
There is one thing that made me scratch my head, because he is perfect and right on 99% of the time. But I do have to ask him, if I ever could, why he would question Urban's ability to pick talent. That's the one thing that, in my opinion, that's how Urban won all his championships.
Yeah, no, Urban has been a great evaluator, and he's also the only knock on Urban. It's really not even fair. I used this once on ESPN. I said Urban's such a great evaluator of talent. He chose Tim Tebow over Cam Newton and Dwayne Haskins over Joe Burrow. Yeah. But other than two Heisman winners and number one player taken in the draft, he's pretty good.
They had the best receivers ever scratching their head when they saw Cam Newton at the Friday night lights. They all kept saying, he's a three-star? Are you out of your mind?
Well, Stetson, thank you very much. Bill is on Long Island, and you're up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great.
Just a small observation from the game day on ESPN. When Waddle went down, Dave Pollack kind of laughed it off and said, there goes Alabama's national championship.
Right.
Nobody plays that back much, but I think somebody should ask good old Pollack to get down on all knees and apologize to Alabama fans. Maybe even change places with Bear.
Yeah, I've never seen Pollack
in the middle of that table.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Pollack go out and judge the fan signs.
I've never seen Pollack displaying an ounce of humility, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I know that, but I just thought it was funny that he predicted that they were going to.
He did. In fairness, that's what commentators do. They make. I've made dumber comments than that before. You make comments in the spur of the moment, and it's always easy to go line them all up and spit them back. That one just happened to be a couple of weeks ago. Hey, thank you for the call. And Deborah is in Alabama. Hey, Deborah.
Hi. How are you?
We are doing great
today. And Roll Tide. I just wanted to make a comment regarding what Booger said about LSU's fluke season, because that is what I would consider it to be. And regardless of what anyone thinks or says, we do have the GOAT. And our season was better than any season that we've had. And although LSU may have done a whole lot last year, they came in pretty poorly this year. Consistency is what I'd like to see. Thanks, Booger, for your
thoughts. Yeah, and one thing about Booger, I don't know if it's a fair conversation saying that LSU did this in a, what'd they play, 12, 13, 14, 15, a 15-game season. And one of those wins was against Texas, which was ranked in the top 10 at the time and turned out to be a disaster. I think Alabama finished pretty strong. I thought their resume was a lot better than maybe he was giving them credit for. Let's check out Wayne, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Wayne. Wayne, you there?
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, this is Wayne. I just wanted to talk to you a minute about some of the stuff that's going on at the University of Kentucky.
Sure.
I've been a Kentucky basketball fan since I was 7 years old. And I'm 59 now. And, you know, to me, my greatest hope would be that these coaches and athletic directors would leave the politics and let that be in everybody's spare time. And when the ball games are going on and when we're competing, you know, when you take a knee at the national anthem, that's a slap in the face for everybody that's ever served in the military like me. And so that's what's going on here, is we feel like they're taking a slap at our country, and that's why we're so upset. And John Calipari, Mitch Barnhart gave him a lifetime contract, so now I don't know if they've got the money to pay him off or what, but I wish, if John cannot keep from putting politics into this, then I wish he would just resign and go on somewhere else.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Dawn Staley later on, and we'll talk to the author of that USA Today article about trying to figure out a way to stop Nick Saban. He'll be with us in about 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we welcome you back. And Sam is up next as we continue. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on Booger McFarland. Why would he choose anybody else from LSU since he is from LSU? We know we had the best team this year ever.
Well, he was simply comparing. I asked him to compare last year's LSU team to this year's Alabama team. That's all.
Right. But we know this year's team was better. It broke the records.
It did that, Sam. Well, thanks for the call. Phil is up next in Nashville. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, sir?
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Two questions. The first one you may not be able to answer, but I'm just like to get your feelings on this. When do you think this deal's going to come to a head up at UT, up at Tennessee? And one more thing I'd like to ask you, if you know this or not, I'm a big fan of Tim Tebow. I think the world of him. He's a great person. I wish nothing but the best for the young man. Do you know if he's going to be playing baseball this year? Do you know that? I'm just curious. And I'll hang up.
Yeah, on the Tennessee part, I have to believe it's going to be soon. Can't drag on much longer. On Tebow, it's a good question. I've talked to Tim two or three times lately, and I've been wondering about that myself. I just haven't asked him. I'm not sure. I'm also wondering if he might be persuaded by Urban Meyer to do something with the Jaguars. Tim lives in Jacksonville. He recently was married, and well, not recently, about a year ago. But they are about as close as you can get, almost a father-son relationship. I've not heard anybody mention that. I just wondered that. In fact, they'll be living so close together. Anyway, I'll check on the baseball. I do not know. Let's check in with Tom, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Tom. Welcome. Good afternoon. Tom, you there?
Yeah.
Well, go right ahead. You are on the air.
Thank you very much, Paul. Listen, I'm a Kentucky fan. Always will be. Never, ever give them doubt except on the kneeling situation with the UK team that has been kneeled. I'm perturbed by that. I would like to know what your idea is about this particular problem. There is a lot of fans down here that, you know, they're throwing their UK shirts in the fire, and I love Calipari, I love Kentucky, but I don't understand the situation.
Well, Tom, thank you for the call, and before I even answer your question, Tim Tebow has said he will play baseball this year, so I wanted to answer that last person's question. He will not join Urban. He will play baseball with the Mets. I think it's a very complicated situation, and it's not only Kentucky, as you know. It's a much broader conversation in college athletics and particularly in pro sports. In pro sports, the feelings are not as strong because most of them are in very broad urban areas. And in Kentucky, which, you know Kentucky better than I do, but it's a very conservative state. And the views on this particular issue are extremely narrow. And I think it did come to a head. I don't know. You tell me this. Would it have mattered if Kentucky was undefeated, or would the reaction have been the same?
No. If you're a Kentucky fan, you've been with them since Rupp.
Okay.
And, you know, and I'm the same way. You know, I'm 73 years old. I saw Adolf several times before he died at the Coliseum and and Rupp Arena. And I am a flagrant UK fan. But I don't understand why Calipari, he asked them, what do you want me to do? Well, they asked him to kneel with them. What was the reasoning behind it? I know the reasoning behind it, but I don't agree on the thing about the national anthem.
Okay, Tom.
I am a retired a military person. I believe in that wholeheartedly, and I would rather see them put out a university opinion.
Tom, I deeply apologize. I appreciate your call. We're out of time for this hour. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.